This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Our favorite guest, by far, Ashley Greenert, is in the studios with us here today. She's the executive director of innovative programs and strategic planning for District 61. And man, you are just busy as all get out.
Busy. in a good way.
In a good way,
right? In a positive way, with good things.
How hard is it, and I don't mean speaking specifically about District 61 or anybody in District 61, but when you talk about public education and innovation, sometimes those things are at odds.
Absolutely. I think that we...
just the system.
The system in general. I mean, when you're looking to create and be innovative and think outside the box, but the system is, there's processes and procedures that go into the system. So sometimes shaking things up takes a lot of work, takes a lot of collaboration amongst a lot of different stakeholders internally and externally. And it takes a lot of time. I mean, for example, Prep Academy took a year and a half just to plan and get it developed. So things don't happen overnight. And especially with innovation, it takes time.
Yeah. And it also is a realization that not everybody thinks like you do. I've had to struggle with this in my own career. We had an engineer here for like 100 years named Frank Konwinski. Great guy. But Frank was always the guy that wanted to tell you why you couldn't do it, you know? And I was always the guy who goes, I don't want to hear why we can't do it. I want to hear why we can't do it. So we like knock heads, you know, for 20 years because his job was this thing and my job was this thing. And they just were counterintuitive to each other.
Absolutely. It's about, for me, removing barriers and giving access. So yes, I understand the rationale behind the why, and I appreciate that. But how can we creatively get this done?
Well, I'm grateful for you because you're a door kicker, and we need door kickers. And we need door kickers in bureaucracy more than ever, because the status quo, if all of our kids could read and write and all of our kids were getting jobs or going to secondary education, great.
Absolutely.
But they're not.
Absolutely.
So we got to figure out a different way to do it.
Absolutely.
All right. Talk to me about what's going on right now. You got your Prep Academy now accepting applications for the third cohort.
Absolutely. So we actually just finished the parent webinars yesterday evening. That's a part of the application process. We went out last.
What does that look like for future parents that might be interested, or, you know, I mean, that can be intimidating for people.
Yeah, it can be. And we try to make it less intimidating as possible. So we, part of the application process for the students and families is that we speak and communicate the same language of the commitment and everything involved in the Prep Academy, because we believe it takes a village, and it will take a village to get these students through this program. So we go over the entire program with the parents. We give them the opportunity to type and ask questions, to see my face, Leslie's face, as well as the deans from Richland. So we had nearly between the four webinars, almost 100 parents get on and ask us questions and learn more about the program. And then the application is up and out there until January 31st for cohort three.
Walk me again through the details. How many kids in cohort one?
So currently we have around 50 students in cohort one.
And where are they? They're sophomores.
They're sophomores at between both high schools.
And then cohort two would be freshmen.
Yep. Between both high schools, we have around 50 in cohort two.
And then this will be fall of 23 for incoming freshmen.
That's right.
The next group.
Yep,
okay.
They will be our cohort three students.
I can't wait to see, Nick, at the end of this, you know, kids are going to graduate Howard, MacArthur, and have a degree from Richland.
It's an unbelievable program, and it's the type of program that can absolutely shape a community in a short amount of time. I did have a question, actually. If families are thinking about moving to Decatur, can they apply for it prior to getting here?
If they are planning to move and planning to be in district and send their students to one of the Decatur high schools, absolutely. We've even had private school parents now reach out about the program.
Yeah, maybe moving from Mount Zion to Decatur.
Absolutely. And as long as they plan to and be enrolled by the start of that freshman year, they can take advantage and at least apply for the program.
So we're talking, in the neighborhood of 150 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that's, what is that, 10-20% of the high school population, something around there?
Right.
Okay. So there's only room for, you know, even more growth, and I'm assuming that's, you know, the plan. You got to start somewhere and then figure it out. Is there a reason why it's like 50 kids or I mean, is that the max you can do, or is that just the amount that are responding?
Well, no, that's absolutely not the max. Last year we had around 100 applications coming in for the 50 spots. But when we look at the high school operations and just how the scheduling and
so right now logistically you're held to 50, but there's a potential for that to grow.
It can, but we want to be intentional about that growth, because again, this is not a program where it's one size fits all either. We have other amazing programs at our district. We have Ag, DCLI, we have our teacher prep program, building trades, all of those programs. And so we want to, and just, I want to go to school and take honors classes. I want to go to school and just take traditional classes and graduate and get into our workforce prep program or internship. So we don't want to just, again, make this program 200 students accepted, because honestly,
well, if you get, there's also the other side of that. You could get 200, and if 100 of them don't make it, you're not getting the results. Okay, so that is underway, and they have until the end of the month, right?
Absolutely.
All right. What about Inspired Ed Futures and the internship program?
We are very excited. This is our 9th year of this internship program. It started out with just a conversation with Grow Decatur years ago, and that superintendent, and we pulled our 6 largest employers in the room, and it was about how can we give our students real life, real world, engaging experiences before they get into the workforce. And so we developed this program. We currently have nearly 40 senior students out in the community, around 30 local businesses hosting these seniors. They go to school half a day, and then they go out into the community. They receive high school credit. It is a non-paid internship, but this year we even enhanced the program because there's a classroom portion of it. And so we have partnered with Rocky Wilkerson and her team, and they'll be coming in, and the students will graduate with an entire portfolio, resume, all of those things. And then we've partnered with Miss Nikki Gary. She'll be doing financial literacy workshops. So trying to make it intentional for those seniors while they're out Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, getting the hands-on experiences with our local businesses.
Okay. And you also have the co-op opportunities. Those are paid opportunities.
Co-op opportunities are paid opportunities. We're in year 4 or 5 of those opportunities. And it's just local businesses willing to give on-the-job training, like Caterpillar, for example, with welding and manufacturing. Those students start after their junior summer, after their junior year, going into their senior year, and they work all summer long getting trained. They work as CNAs at the hospital. We're actually bringing Landa Lincoln on. We're working with another big business that I think everyone will be excited about. DPS hosts them. And those students are paid. They go to school. And then in the fall, they come back as seniors. They go to school half a day. They go to work the other half of the day. And the unique thing about this program is those business partners have said and done, they give job opportunities to those students. So they graduate from high school, and literally we've had students starting making $20+ that following Monday at CAT or at the hospitals as full-time employees.
Just had yesterday, we were visiting with ADM and Richland Community College, because they have a program where they're now hiring people that work 3 days a week at ADM, and then they spend 2 days a week at Richland's 28-week program. The gentleman from ADM, Mr. Rhodes, told us yesterday, you know, and I think this is changing in District 61, but for years, we kind of got away from shop, right? We got away from people learning those kind of skills. I know that the building construction trades, skilled trades, the apprenticeship program, that's now a new area of focus.
Absolutely it is. And actually, ADM is the company that we're trying to get our students more exposure. It's meeting in the middle, right? Years ago, it was age limits were a barrier, right? But somehow Caterpillar has figured out how to get around it and how to have 17-year-olds on their shop floor as employees with the proper training and safety equipment. So as long as our employers can work with us, we have students, for example, our Caterpillar program, they're going on a tour next week and we're taking around 40 students from the district. We have to get our students exposed because their reality of what these factories and shop floors look like isn't always the case. No. They're not dirty.
It's not 50 years
exactly.
ago.
And a part of making their reality, bringing it to their level, is exposing them to what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just having that emphasis again, just anecdotally, it seems like public education in general sort of in my lifetime went to this idea that you had to go get a 4-year degree. Didn't even really matter what that degree was, you know, that there was just that was your approach to success. And we sort of lost touch with this idea that you can become an electrician and make a lot of money and go into life without all this student debt and provide for a family and have a great career. We kind of lost focus on that.
We did. And when you lose focus on that, you lose students, right? Because every student isn't on that college path. And I think what we've done at District 61 over the last 8 or 9 years is really focus on career readiness, because no matter if the student is on the college path or if they're on a career path, at the end of the day, we want to ensure our students are set up to succeed in their career, in their industry. And so our Building Trades program is another great example. And it's at both high schools, and we partner with the local unions and Rocky Wilkerson and Habitat for Humanity in the city of Decatur. And Ed Walton does a wonderful job of getting those students out. They go to school and then they're out working on those homes. And then we as a district has stepped up and our businesses. And instead of saying, okay, the average age is 25 to 28 for the entrance, they've brought that down and created pre-apprenticeship programs so that you don't lose students after they graduate. And because what do I do?
Yeah, you're creating a pipeline for them as well. I feel like, and maybe this is just, you know, rose-tinted glasses, but I feel like I'm pretty down to earth and know a lot of this from the inside out, that right now it feels to me that the trades, the companies, District 61, Richland Community College, everybody seems to be kind of firing on the same cylinder of like, how do we get people career ready? And we're really getting outside the box with these innovative programs and taking off the restraints of going, well, we've always done it this other way. Am I pie in the sky here? No. Or do you feel that as well?
I feel that as well. That is the awesome, unique thing about our community is we're all firing in the same direction.
But it's not always been the case.
It hasn't. I mean, yeah. I've been with the district. It'll be almost 10 years in July. And I can say that we've made a lot of progress. I mean,
well, when you can look to one program and show them the success, absolutely. It's that much easier to start another program.
Absolutely. Right? And our community partners, they are willing to come to the table. Like our workforce prep program, that is Richland's enriched program at the high schools now. And so senior students are getting that experience with the enriched team, and they're also receiving that dual credit. 5 or 10 years ago, I can't say that was the case.
Yeah. Healthcare Day, Manufacturing Day, Building Trades Day, College and Career Week. You guys are hitting all the bases. Nick, you got anything you want to add before we get?
No, Ashley, every time you come in, we learn about these programs, and it's great that our kids have so many opportunities that have not been afforded to them in previous years. But I think this is how you do it. You give them solutions, you give them pathways and opportunities, and I personally appreciate it. We just want to say thanks.
Thank you.
There's other way, you know, companies, people can still get involved, right? I mean, absolutely. Once you get down this road and you show people there is a road, it's easier to get other people involved.
Absolutely. And we're always willing and looking to expand. And it really just starts with a conversation and collaboration. And really the mindset that we want to continue to give our students access while removing barriers to relevant learning experiences.
All right. Ashley, we appreciate it. Ashley Granted, who is the executive director of the Innovative Programs and strategic planning for District 61. Great stuff. Thank you. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.